Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning, from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm. Today, I am joined by a colleague of mine at Hardwood Paroxysm. He also writes at a bajillion other places online, including The Friendly Bounce. It's Chris Barnwell. Chris, how's it going?
Going well. How about you?
Doing good. And before we get into it, I just want to let you listeners know that this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. It's a great way to buy tickets for sporting games or concerts or whatever you want to do online. Just make sure you check it out. You can get it on your phone too, really easy. But Chris is here today to do some over-unders with the win totals. Obviously, those came out last week, and Twitter has had a lot of fun debating some of them. I think some of them are very interesting. We're going to do today the Eastern Conference, and then we'll be back tomorrow with the West. But Chris, before we get into this, we're going to go bottom to the top, so that means the Cavs will be last for those of you looking to skip ahead a little bit and just focus on the team that this podcast is generally about. Was there one team on this list that for you was really hard to kind of peg? Because for me, there were two.
That was hard to peg?
Yeah, that was hard for you to kind of say this team is clearly under or this team is clearly going to exceed that.
I have three, the Bulls, Knicks, and Raptors.
Good one. Raptors were one of mine. The Pacers were one of mine because I think it could go one way or the other. And the Magic, but that's the Magic because I just don't know what to make of Orlando. But we'll get there because you covered them. So we're going to start with the Brooklyn Nets, who Vegas has at 20.5 wins. Last year, of course, they were one of the worst teams in the league. This year, they're going to be, again, one of the worst teams in the league. Not really a whole lot going in Brooklyn. They have, obviously, Kenny Atkinson as their new head coach. Sean Marks is their GM. Jeremy Lin, Brooke Lopez. Anthony Bennett is going to be on the team or at least compete for a roster spot. But Chris, we'll start with you in this one. Over or under 20.5 wins for the Brooklyn Nets?
I'm going to go under. Just, this isn't a good team. They're not going to be a good team. Like, they're clearly trying to move towards some kind of building. They've been trying to tear down what they did with the whole Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce thing years ago. They're still trying to recover from that. Brooke Lopez is rarely ever healthy, and he's their best player. They just signed Chase Buttinger, who's never healthy. Like, this is going to be a really, really bad team, and the only reason anyone should watch it is because, in my opinion, Randy Foy is fun, Jeremy Lin's fun, and Bojan Bogdanovic is actually a pretty solid wing player that's going to be really good and someone that people should pay attention to, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on them. I don't think they're going to be good. Lin's a very good pick-and-roll point guard. I think he could have been a good backup point guard on a good team if he would have chosen to go that route, but he got paid. He has a good relationship with Kenny Atkinson. I'm excited for the Anthony Bennett redemption tour. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, to me, is the guy to watch on that team because he's really good. And he should be really good even if he can't shoot yet, but definitely under for the Brooklyn Nets. Like, I could see 15 being sort of where they end up because they're just going to be terrible. And they don't really have a lot of NBA players, so.
That's the thing. Like, you know, look at this roster. There's a really funny picture going around where it's like, name this band, and it's like five Brooklyn Nets players, and people are like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, it's really bad. I feel really bad for Kenny Atkinson because he went from the Hawks to this, so tough. But Brooklyn's going to be bad. Mark them down for under if you're crazy enough to start
bets. They're going
to
be bad, but I'm going to say they're going to be fun bad.
Nah.
They're going to – no, like, bad is bad no matter what. But they're going to be, like, that bad team where you're going to watch them and be like, you know what, they're kind of entertaining. Like, there's going to be a couple Lin Sanity nights. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's going to do things. Like, they're not going to be good, but they'll be fun bad.
Yeah, I guess I could see it with a couple guys, but I don't buy it. The next team, on our list is the Philadelphia 76ers. Still trust the process for me for always and ever. Joel Embiid still hashtags it on his Instagram posts. And they are 27.5. For me, I'm going to go under. This is, to me, like, Chris was on our previous podcast where we did a league pass draft, and I was crazy enough to pick the Sixers. I like what they have. I like Ben Simmons. I want to watch Embiid play, even if for 20 minutes. And I like Brett Brown, and I like what they have there, but it's a lot of young guys. Jared Bayless is not enough of a point guard to see good enough of a point guard to see a drastic increase in what they're going to be, and this was the worst team in the league last year. There's literally no way I think they get above 27.5. I think they improve. I think they're going to be more competent. But 27.5 is a lot of wins for the 76ers.
Yeah, I'm going to go under too. Just for every reason you just said. Like, I still don't know where they're going to get shooting. I still don't know where they're going to get wins, to be honest. Like, they're so young. They haven't shown anything from any of the one on this roster, like, except Gerald Henderson, for whatever reason, decided to go back to Philadelphia, bless his heart.
Yeah, I mean, so ballsy.
I mean, just, there's nothing on this roster that, like, tells you that this team should be good, like, outside of, oh, they're young and they're going to be fun, except they're not going to be fun because no one can shoot, and they have three centers, and one of those centers apparently doesn't like that they have three centers. Just, this is not a good team at all.
Not a good team, not a good situation, but I'll ask you this before we go to the next team. Do they beat their last year's win total?
Yeah. They're not going to be that bad.
Yeah. All right. So next we go to the Miami Heat, a team that really is no longer the Miami Heat that we knew for the past couple of years. Dwayne Wade is gone. Chris Bosh, for a lot of reasons, is not going to play for them this year, quite unfortunately. Deion Waiters is there now. They still have Dragic. They still have Hassan Whiteside, who they re-upped this summer. Chris, Vegas has them at 36.5 over or under on the Miami Heat.
Without Chris Bosh, this one's going to be a little hard. I think I'm going to go under, but barely, like, in the 34 win range. Like, I think they're going to push that number really close, just cuz I don't think Dragic is terrible. They do have some talented players. I like Tyler Johnson a lot, but their best player might be Hassan Whiteside, who we really still don't know how good he is. And can he be the best player on your team and then you win more than, like, 36 games? And we still don't know that much about Justice Winslow. We know he's fun. We know he's young and good, but, like, you could honestly make the argument he's their third best player or fourth best player, and that's a little concerning. Just, they're in this weird rebuilding stage / not rebuilding stage right now where you're really not sure how to feel about them. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to go under.
I am too. I'm a little bit more confident saying I think it's going to be about 3 or 4 under. Everything could break right for them, and it could go really well, and they could get up to maybe 40 wins. But that would require Justice Winslow taking a huge step offensively, Whiteside really living up to his potential, Deion Waiters being a success in every way you could possibly think of, and just a lot of other things sort of breaking correctly. I don't see that happening. They're going to be competent because Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. Whiteside and Dragic and Winslow and all those guys are, like, good players. I just don't think the ceiling's that high for what they are, so I say under as well. And that's a very weird spot, for the Heat to be in after how good they've been, even last year, for the past couple of years.
That's why I can't, like, completely, like, comfortably say under, just because the Heat never freaking lose. Like, ever since Spoelstra got there, like, I mean, really, with Wade, too, which I know Wade's gone now, and it doesn't look like Bosh is going to be around, they just don't lose games. It's this franchise, like, as someone that's grown up in Orlando and been very close to this franchise for much of my life, I just know that counting out the Heat is usually not something you should do. They're constantly going to be relevant.
Yeah, they're always.
So even though that they're probably going to hit the under, like, I don't say it with confidence because just whenever you think the Heat are going to zig, they zag.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Next up at number 12, we have the Orlando Magic, who are also at 36.5. As I said before, this is a team that really, really confuses me. I like a lot of what they have, some of it just doesn't fit that well. I'm going to say under, and I'm not really confident saying that because I think things could break right. I think things could work because Frank Vogel's a good coach. And I like a lot of the people they have on that team, but I don't love Aaron Gordon really being a three, and we've talked about that before too. I don't love them having all these bigs, and I'm not a big Elfrid Payton guy, so I just don't know if I can confidently say over for the Orlando Magic.
I'm going to say over just because of Frank Vogel. I think he is that good a coach. I think as flawed as this team's going to be, they're going to be so freaking good defensively that it might make up for those flaws. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think I'm pegging them somewhere around 40 wins right now, maybe even the 9 seed in the East, depending how good or bad the East is this year. So, but like, I just trust Frank Vogel that much as a coach. He's really good. He took an arguably worse Pacers team without Paul George almost to the playoffs a couple years ago. And now he's gotten a slightly more competent roster, a solid group of players that there's talent on this roster. You don't know how it fits together, but you know there's talent. And there's potential to move things around. They could trade Vucevic, they could trade Payton. Like, there's potential for things to change here. Aaron Gordon could break out. Like, this is a team that I don't know why I think they're going to be good. I just trust Frank Vogel that much. Like, it's a terrible reasoning, but that's it.
I don't think it's terrible reasoning. I think when you look at some of the other teams we're going to get to, it's very possible. I think things break right for them because they have a very, very good coach who knows how to play a certain style, and I think they actually could play that style. So we'll see. This is the one where I feel like if I'm wrong, I get it. So next up, we have the Chicago Bulls, the team who had a very odd off summer. They almost traded Jimmy Butler, but they had Wade, they had Rondo. They really don't have a lot of spacing, and obviously Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah are both in New York now. They're at 38.5. Chris, I mean, what do you think about 38.5 for the Bulls?
I'm gonna put them over, not comfortably, but I like Dwayne Wade. I don't think Rondo's as I think Rondo might be all right. He's at least good at getting his own numbers. Robin Lopez is a pretty solid center. They have some pieces. I don't think they're going to be that good, to be honest. Like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs just because this roster, like, it's as flawed as every Bulls roster ever since. I know he's not there anymore, but ever since Derrick Rose got there, like, every Bulls roster has had the same flaw. All defense, no shooting. Like, that's all this team is. All defense, no shooting. With a coach that doesn't value defense.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. But I feel like someone has to win games. So the Bulls are going to win some games. And like I said, I do like Wade. So, and yeah. Jimmy Butler's a rising star.
Yeah, if Butler's three-point shot gets back to where it was a year or two ago, I'm in. But I have concerns. I don't think they can play Hoiberg style. I don't think Rondo's good. I know he was actually okay in Sacramento, but not especially not with Wade and not with Butler. Mirotić didn't have a great year last year. I also think I have to say over, though, just because someone has to win games, and right. I'm not confident in the next team winning games quite yet. So I have to give the Bulls a over, but I also don't know. I think it could go really bad for them. If Wade gets hurt, they're screwed for a lot of reasons, and it could go bad for them, but I don't know. Next up, we have the New York Knicks, who obviously have Rose and Noah. They also have, obviously, Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps Porzingis, Courtney Lee. This team is actually a super team. I don't know if you knew that, but they're supposedly a super team.
They're a super-duper team.
Super, super-duper. And Phil Jackson, they're woke. Obviously, Jeff Hornacek is the new coach. A lot going on in New York. A lot of changes on the team. They're at 38.5. What do you think about the Knicks?
This is where my problem was. I knew I had to pick either New York or Chicago to go over, and I ended up picking Chicago at the last minute. So I'm going to pick New York to go under just because I really don't like Joakim Noah. I think he was overrated the year everyone wanted to make him MVP. I don't think he's all that good anymore now that he's been injured and ruined Tom Thibodeau. Like, I don't think he's that great. Derrick Rose was inconsistent last year, and now he might be in jail soon. Like, that's how serious, like, his situation is. Melo is good, but is he really going to be able to carry this whole team? Courtney Lee's all right, but Courtney Lee doesn't raise, or he helps teams, but he doesn't raise teams. He doesn't make teams, like, win more games. That's the thing about him. So yeah. While this team is solid, like, I don't see them winning very many games just because, like I said, Joe Cano is a key piece of them, and I don't think he's any good anymore.
Yeah, if Noah's healthy, I'm in, but that's a big if. I also don't think Derrick Rose is that great anymore. I think Porzingis might have a year where he isn't quite as standout as it was last year just because growth is not always linear. Growth is not always something that goes up that ladder.
He could especially on a team that's trying to win games more than develop.
Exactly. You know, and ideally you'd see him playing some five. I don't think you're going to see that as much as we'd like. So I'm going to say under as well. And to be honest, to go back to Orlando, I think if it's totally a possibility that Orlando jumps both of these teams and ends up in like that 10-ish range ahead of New York and Chicago, I think that's definitely on the table. So next, we have the Charlotte Hornets at number 9, a team you cover, a team I know you're very high on. So, but I'll give you my take first, just to see how you react to it. I'm going to say for sure over.
Yes.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is probably a top 7 favorite player for me. I just love him. I love them coming out of college. Kemba Walker is very good. They have a lot of other good players. I'm writing about this soon at Hardwood Praxis, but I'm very in on if any coach is going to rehabilitate Roy Hibbert, it's going to be Steve Clifford. And I just think this team is going to play a very sound style. They're going to be a cohesive team. There are some little things I worry about, but they aren't something that I think is keeps them from getting to, let's say, the 43-44 range and being a very solid playoff team in the East.
The fact that they are at 39.5 games is ridiculous. This is a team that won 48 games last year. 48. They were really freaking good without Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Yes, they lost Jeremy Lin. Yes, they lost Al Jefferson. Yes, they lost Courtney Lee. All those players are replaceable. They kept Marvin Williams. They kept Nicholas Batum. They had Kemba Walker. He is coming off knee surgery, so that's a little concerning. But you know what? That doesn't really matter because they have an incredible coach. They have a lot of talent on this roster. No matter what, no matter the team, no matter how mediocre they were, Steve Clifford has always had a top 7 defense. And now he gets Kidd-Gilchrist back. And possibly he could revive Roy Hibbert into that monster we saw in Indiana. Just, I don't see where this team is going to lose that many games because if they won 48 last year and they fell to 39, like, that means someone got injured or something, like Batum or Kidd-Gilchrist again, because I don't see how a team falls that far and, like, you know, it's all perfectly fine. Like, teams don't fall that far when they bring back mostly the same roster. I don't get why with other teams, when they replace bench players, we go, oh, well, of course they had to replace bench players. They're just bench players. But this team replaces their bench players, and everyone goes, oh, well, they lost all these important players. Why is the bench all of a sudden this important thing? The bench is replaceable. It's always been replaceable.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair take on them. I also think it's just you look at them. I think certain teams, when they have stars or have had higher levels of success than what Charlotte has had, get a little bit more benefit of the doubt. But I'm with you. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be a solid team in the East. And I think they're for sure a playoff team in my book. Next, we have the Milwaukee Bucks, who are at 39.5.
Under!
I am with you, and this is why. We'll just hop right into this. One, Chris Middleton is going to be out for a decent amount of time. He's their best player right now, or their second best player right now, or third if you really like Jabari. And he's going to be out for a while. That's going to hurt them at the beginning of the year. Matthew Dellavedova might be an upgrade over Michael Carter-Williams, but that is not a great thing to say at the point guard spot. They have just a lot of weird fit issues with Greg Monroe. Giannis and Jabari are still very young. Jabari really can't hit the corner three yet. And then Thon Maker, like, is he going to play? Like, is he going to be useful? There's a lot of questions about this team. I'm saying under, and for me, this is one where I feel pretty good about being maybe not a ton under, but, you know, I think it's going to be a rough year for the Bucks, at least in some regards.
This is a team I might have gone under even if they had Chris Middleton. I don't like this team. I mean, maybe I wouldn't because someone has to win games at 39 is pretty low, but my goodness, they can't shoot. Like, Dellavedova is automatically their best three-point shooter. And he's their only three-point shooter outside of Middleton. Like, Monroe can't play defense. Anacumpo is, like, he gets listed as, like, this crazy freak athlete that can do everything on the court. When in reality, he only, like, for only 20 or 30 games last year, he had the best games of his career. Before that, he was just okay. Now all of a sudden he's supposed to be, like, a almost superstar level talent. Like, this isn't a very good team. Jabari Parker doesn't shoot threes. And without Chris Middleton, they're going to be awful.
Yeah.
Like, unless these players, like, take jumps, Chris Middleton was that important to them. And now without him, like, I just don't see how they're any good.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it had to get big jump from Jabari to get there, but I don't really think that's quite on the cards for him yet, and we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, under. Not really feeling good about the Bucks. They're the team I probably feel just the most confident about out of all of these that we're picking. I think they might be – I'm pretty sure that they are going to be under. But we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick word from our sponsor, SeatGeek.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, everyone. Just going to give you a quick word from today's sponsor, SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a mobile app that is the best way to buy and sell tickets right off your phone. Every seat, whether you're going to a Browns game or a Cavs game, an Indians game, the Kanye West concert in Cleveland this weekend, it's going to tell you exactly how good of a deal you're getting on that seat, what your view is going to look like, and how it compares to any other ticket available. There is no better way for you to get tickets. Myself, I just used it to actually get Kanye West tickets. I'm going to see the St. Pablo tour this weekend, and my friend and I, we used the app. We knew exactly where we were going to sit. We got the best deal we could. We paid less than we would have if we would have went through another site, and it was the best way to do it. And today, my listeners can save $20 off their first purchase using the code LOCAVS. Again, you can save $20 off your first purchase by using the promo code LOCAVS. All you have to do is enter it in right in to your profile, and it'll give you a $20 rebate off your first purchase. Again, today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. It is the best way to buy tickets right off your phone for anything you might want to see. And again, $20 off your first purchase using the code LOCAVS. And we're back. Thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring this podcast. So, Chris, next up we have the Washington Wizards at 42.5. I'm going to go first in this one. I'm going over. I think John Wall is awesome. I think he's healthy. If Bradley Beal is healthy, him and Wall are a very good duo, despite all of the stuff that has been talked about. If Markieff Morris is the best version of himself, or 90% of that, he's a perfect fit with them as their third best player. And I have concerns about the bigs. It also requires Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre taking jumps. But 42.5 seems a bit low for me for Washington. I don't necessarily think they jumped to, let's say, 50. But over to me seems pretty realistic for them, and it should be pretty obtainable.
I'm going to also give Washington an over, only because I think with the amount of teams I've given under so far, someone has to, like, to at least have this make a little bit of sense, I have to put them over. I don't think it's going to be much. I think it's only going to be like 43, 44 wins, just because I don't see them still overcoming a lot of their problems from last year. Like, I don't really see what they did this offseason to get better besides hire a new coach, which I get for a lot of teams that helps. But to use an example, last year the New Orleans Pelicans got a new coach and brought back the same exact team from the year before that it made the playoffs, and then they plummeted. Like, sometimes it's more than the coach, and this team still is players we can't really trust to be healthy. They still have a lot of the same flaws. I think they're going to get back to the playoffs, but I don't think it's going to be like a for sure like really good team. I think they're just going to be somewhere in that 6-8 range.
Yep, 100% with you. And I think that for me it's the same for the next team. That's the Atlanta Hawks. They're at 43.5. Obviously, a little bit of a change for them this summer. You have Dennis Schroeder in a point guard instead of Jeff Teague, and Dwight Howard in for Al Horford in the middle. And I also do think they're going to get over 43.5, but I say that they're going to win 45 games. They're going to be solid. They're going to be fine. Barring injuries to guys like Korver and Horford, I think they're just going to be fine, and I think 45 is fine.
I agree with that. My issue with Atlanta is I really don't like Dennis Schroeder. I think they're going to be... That's the thing. Dennis Schroeder, like, they're giving him the keys, and that's really risky because Jeff Teague, as frustrating as he was at time, was consistent. Schroeder, like, he sometimes thinks he's the best player on the floor, and really, he's rarely the best player on the floor. He shoots a lot. He isos a lot. He doesn't really run an offense, which is going to be weird on an Atlanta team that's going to very much rely on running an offense. But he might run the pick and roll a little bit better than Teague did, which with Dwight Howard could go wonderfully. And I think Dwight Howard is going to have a resurgent year in Atlanta. I think he's going to – the Atlanta was the second best defense in the NBA last year. Now they added Dwight. They might be one of the best, if not the best, defenses. They're going to be really good. And I think offensively, if he's willing to play in the pick and roll, that could really help their offense, which last year kind of didn't do what we thought it would. Like, they didn't shoot very well, but they might get back to their old Hawk shooting threes ways, and that might work pretty well for them, thanks to having Dwight as a big presence inside. So I'm pretty high-ish on Atlanta, a little bit more than Washington, to be honest.
Yeah, to me they're kind of the same, but I can definitely see Washington maybe jumping them because I think they have a little bit more room to grow. And with Atlanta, I just kind of think unless Schroeder is a lot better than I think he is, I don't see a lot of room for just growth. I mean, we may have seen the best Paul Millsap season ever, so like he could regress. And there's a lot of questions I have there, but they're kind of.
I like Charlotte a lot more than I like either of these teams, to be honest.
That's a pretty reasonable take, and I don't know if I would disagree with that. Next up at 5, we have the Indiana Pacers at 43.5. To me, this is a team with the potential to be a lot higher than that if everything breaks right. And by virtue of my belief in Paul George, my belief in Miles Turner, I think I say over, but not by much because I'm a little bit concerned about a couple of things with this team.
I think I'll go over, maybe under. I don't know. This is a team I wasn't sure on either because I'm going to put Indiana in the playoffs, so I'm going to put them on over because I think everyone in the East is going to finish with 43 wins or more. So that makes the playoffs. So I'm going to put Indiana as over because I think they're going to finish somewhere in that 5-7 range. I really like Paul George. I'm a little confused about their coaching situation. Nate McMillan was a weird choice. So I'm not really sure.
Real weird. Like, he's definitely a downgrade from Vogel.
That's the thing. Like, they didn't renew Vogel, and they went with McMillan. So that's one of my concerns with them. But they do have a lot of youth on there that's going to theoretically improve. I like Al Jefferson a lot. I think Teague's really good. So I think they're going to be a competent team.
Yeah, competent to me gets them over that. So, but we'll see. They could definitely have some issues because Monta Ellis.
Next he has it all.
He has it all, though, for sure. And he's the subject of my favorite NBA player related typing GIF, which is like a very small niche thing I understand, but where like rubs his hands together and then like types like that is he's a blogger spiritually because of that GIF. At number 4, we have the Detroit Pistons. At 45.5, this is a team that made a couple small additions. They added Boban, most notably because of his huge hands. But this is a team that I think is really betting on internal improvement. I'm very high in them. I think they get over. I think they are going to finish fourth in the East, and I think they're going to get up to about 48 wins for this Pistons team. And, you know, it could go badly. I think they could regress in some ways. And a lot of this does depend on Stanley Johnson and KCP really taking some sort of step up this year.
I'm going to go over, and I'm going to say they finish second in the East.
Wow. Barnwell bomb right here on Locked On Cavs.
I'm really high on any Stan Van Gundy team. I think that Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond really started to like get their pick-and-roll game going last year. I think they're going to take a jump this year. I think Stanley Johnson's going to get better. I think they really started to figure out how to get their shooters open and get them the ball and actually, like, you know, make those shots. Last year in the first round of the playoffs against the Cleveland, I think they're going to roll that into this season and play really, really well. I'm also high on them because of some other teams that I'm not as sure of up top, and someone has to win games, so that's part of why I'm as high on them as I am. But I really, really like this Detroit team, and you can completely give that to my Stan Van Gundy love. I think he's one of, if not the best coach. I think he might be the second best coach in the NBA.
That's fair enough. Next up at number 3, we have the Toronto Raptors, the number 2 team in the East last year, 49.5. I have them at over. Maybe it's by two games, but I think this is a very good regular season team. They play a very specific style. They're going to get improvements in certain areas. DeRozan and Lowry are going to be a very good duo if they're healthy. You worry about losing Biombo because Jakob Poeltl has to almost be the guy to step up there. But I think Toronto is just a good, solid team, and I think they win 50 again.
I'm going to go under, but barely. It's going to be like 49, 48. This is going to be another really good Raptors team. My problem is they won, like, what, 56 games last year?
Yeah.
Something like that. They were one away from Cleveland. How do you improve on your best season in franchise history?
I'm not saying that's they improve really on it. I don't think they improve on it. I think they just, like, regress enough to still be over 50.
Right. I mean, if they're over 50, it won't be surprising to me. Like, some, I'm just more like, I feel like there's going to be a natural regression just because they just had the best season ever in their franchise. And I'm not sure how you get, how you don't just regress naturally from that. Like, even treading water is really difficult there. And I'm really not sure how I feel about DeMar DeRozan. Toronto is a weird team where I think they're a really good regular season team. And once you get to the playoffs, all bets are off. But I think teams are starting to realize that about them. And they're starting to be able to game plan a little bit easier against them because of that. And like I said, and like you said about the Biombo loss, that's big because their defense was, it was good last year, but they just lost their one rim protector they had, and they replaced him with Jared Sollinger, which that's a problem.
Yeah, not great.
So I don't dislike the Raptors. I just think they're going to take a little bit of a fall. Yeah. And that's part of why I put the Pistons as high as I did.
Yeah, that's also very fair. Number two, we have, I think, the team that maybe would have the best chance of beating the Cavs in a seven-game series this year, at least. That's the Boston Celtics. They're 51.5. Chris, over under on the Boston Celtics, who did at Al Horford this summer.
I'm going to put them as over. I think they're going to be the number one team in the East in the regular season. Because I think that they're going to care a lot about the regular season. I think they're going to try to win as many games as possible. They're going to probably try and get as close to 60 as they can.
Wait. Do you have the Cavs at 3?
Yeah. You'll hear why. You'll hear why. The whole reason is I want to anger your reader, your listeners. That's fine.
AKA, you're trying to pick a fight with Justin Rowan. I understand. It's understandable.
Oh, of course. At Cavs Anna is trash. I tweet that every day. It is my motto in life. but anyways, I really think this Boston team is going to just blitz the regular season. I think that's all, like, they really value it, I believe. I think they think that's going to make them better because of it. Brad Stevens is a really good coach. They're a solid team. They're going to be fine. Like, they're going to care about it a lot. I don't know if that actually means anything to how they're going to be in the actual playoffs. Like, they still might lose in the second round, but as far as, you know, the regular season, they're going to care so much about it that I think they're going to win a ton of games.
I think they're going to win a lot, too. I have them at over as well. I think they're good. I mean, I don't think there's a way to get around that. Brad Stevens is a good coach. They're very versatile. They just have a lot of pieces that, like, I think they're over two. I have them at number two in the East. We'll see if they do end up finishing number one. I think there's a chance they do because I don't 100% believe yet that the Cavs are going to take the regular season seriously. And that brings us to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's
the defending NBA
champions.
That's
why I have Cleveland at under at like 55, 54. They're going to be a really good team. They don't care about the regular season. Did they even get the one seed the first year?
Atlanta was the one seed the first year. Then they had the one last year, obviously, but it was pretty close. Let me just play devil's advocate to you for a second.
All right, let's do that. I'm fine. I'm fine with having this conversation. Let's do this.
This is my take and my logic behind the Cavs maybe being a better regular season team this year. I'll tell you why also just from my general observations from Media Day, why I think I might be totally full of crap. I think that LeBron James may be thinking about going for MVP this year.
Ooh, that would change everything.
I know his eye is more on the title. I know his eye is more towards beating the Warriors again. But I also think there is a scenario where he goes for MVP because he wants to just get another one under his belt. He is chasing Michael Jordan. He said that to Tom Weathers of the Associated Press, and he's going for LeBron. He's going after MJ. Winning an MVP helps that. I think it would set a really solid tone for the whole team all year, that they're going to play at this high level all year. And that's kind of my thinking. It's like, if LeBron wants it, they can beat the 56.5. The downside of them in the regular season is I think Jordan McRae is going to play a lot. I think there's going to be growing pains with him. They may have to play Kay Felder. And LeBron could take a sabbatical. We had Matt Moore on the show earlier this week. He's like, LeBron could take a 4-week sabbatical, and it would be totally just, you know, because they don't care. They don't need the regular season. I'm going to say over, but I don't feel great about it. And I only say that because I have them as number one in the East. I think they do want to keep home court, and that they'll get home court, but I don't really say that with all the confidence. And I also just say this, I don't think it matters, and I also think it's really funny that they are at the same win total as the Spurs, because I definitely think the Cavs this year are definitely on a different plateau of caliber of team than the Spurs.
I think Cleveland is the easy favorite to go back to the finals from the East. I just don't think this team cares that much about the regular season. In my opinion, this roster has never been a regular season roster anyways. They've always just fluctuated throughout both years of this current of LeBron's return. They've really fluctuated in the regular season. They've always gotten the job done, but just they have these moments where it's like, I specifically remember the Hornets-Cavaliers game last year. I want to say it was in Cleveland, where Cleveland wasn't even on a back-to-back, and they just looked like they couldn't have cared less about the game. It was miserable. Like, they were not in it at all. And with a ring up, and there's championship hangover, there's the fact that historically, they're just not that into the regular season, and then they're going to be resting guys because they've already proven themselves. They know they can flip that switch. So, really, I think they're not going to, like, fall apart and, you know, not care about it entirely. I don't think they're going to be falling to the 4 seed or anything. I think they're going to be the 3 seed. It's more that I just think the rest of the Eastern teams, like the Pistons and the Boston, care so much more about it and making a statement. And Cleveland's just, they're willing to let that happen because they know they can beat everyone. They're not worried.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that is a good reason for them to be under. Also, J.R. Smith, if he does end up sitting out part of the regular season as he negotiates a new deal, that definitely could push them under, because Shumpert or Jordan McRae or whoever at shooting guard is definitely a downgrade over J.R., who just fits so perfectly with that starting five. But, Chris, this has been the first half of our over-unders. I think we're pretty unison. I'm curious to see if we're going to be in the West, because I found the West a little bit trickier to pick. And we'll have you back tomorrow, but just in case, you know, they don't listen to tomorrow's show, where can people find you on Twitter? And are you working anything kind of cool right now?
If you want to yell at me about where I picked the Cavs, you can at me at CavsAnada, at CavsAnada.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad everyone can find you there on Twitter. That's a good address for you.
My tweets are trash, and I have a chinchilla. You know, he's my best friend in the whole world.
Yeah, and you live in Winnipeg, which, but
oh God, it's terrible here. I know, save me.
I know, I gotta get out of Winnipeg, Chris. But you can find me on Twitter at CWM Rights. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Cavs. Find us on Facebook, find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to shows. And you know, make sure you give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We really appreciate it. It helps other people find the show. We'll be back with Chris tomorrow to talk about the Western Conference. So this has been Chris Manning, Chris Barnwell. This has been Locked On Cavs. We'll talk to you tomorrow.